Today's reading comes from Matthew chapter 6, verses 5 to 18, and can be found on page 970 in the Pew Bibles. And when you pray, do not be like the hypocrites, for they love to stand praying and pray standing in the synagogues and on the street corners to be seen by others. Truly, I tell you, they have received their reward in full. But when you pray, go into your room, close the door, and pray to your Father who is unseen. Then your Father who sees what is done in secret will reward you. And when you pray, do not keep on babbling like pagans, for they think they will be heard because of their many words. Do not be like them, for your Father knows what you need before you ask him. This then is how you should pray. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us today our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we also have forgiven our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. For if you forgive other people when they sin against you, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you do not forgive others their sins, your Father will not forgive your sins. When you fast, do not look somber as the hypocrites do, for they disfigure their faces to show others they are fasting. Truly I tell you, they have received their reward in full. But when you fast, put oil on your head and wash your face, so that it will not be obvious to others that you are fasting, but only to your Father who is unseen. And your Father who sees what is done in secret will reward you. This is the word of the Lord.
Well, good morning. Well, it's good to be back. When Tim said, do you want to come back to Meagate for the day? It was a really, really hard job to say no to that. Please rest assured that I do think of you guys often. And we do miss this place when you go. I think all of us do in our own way. But we do pray for you on a regular basis. And I know that's the same for Chris, for Tom, and for all the other guys and girls who've gone before me. So it's a real joy, and it's a real pleasure to be back with you today. Before I do anything else, why don't we pray? And so, Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word to us. And Lord, we thank you for the gift of prayer. And Lord, we pray that you would give us open hearts this morning to learn from you, to learn what it means to pray. And Lord, would you, your Spirit, guide us into your ways of peace. In the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. Well, an American preacher decided to skip his services one Sunday and head into the hills to do some bear hunting. As he rounded the corner of a perilous twist in the trail, he and a bear collided, sending him down a hillside in sheer amazement and in a moment of being startled. He went one way, his rifle went the other way. He landed on a rock and he broke both his legs. That was the good news. The bad news was the ferocious bear was charging at him from a distance and he couldn't move. Oh Lord, said the preacher, I am so sorry for skipping services today to come out here and hunt. Please, please forgive me and grant me just one wish. Please make a Christian out of that bear that's coming at me. Please, Lord. That very instant, the bear skidded to a halt. It fell to its knees. It clasped its paws. You won't be saying that in a second. And it began to pray out aloud. Dear God, for this food that I am about to receive, may you make me truly thankful. So prayer, the subject of prayer. Be careful what you pray for, probably the first point of this morning, and that's a freebie. But prayer is such a hard subject. Prayer is such a hard subject sometimes. And it can be difficult for a variety of reasons. You know, from my own perspective, when I look at my Christian walk and the things that are going on around us, some of the simple prayer requests seemingly get answered, while some of our biggest questions seem to be met with a silence. And in this sense, prayer can be a bit like a roller coaster. And in the giddy heights where they've had those times where I felt God's presence so, so close to me, it feels like I'm assured of every step I take that I know that God is walking with me. And then there are the other times, the lows, when I've sat in my chair and I've wondered whether God is even listening, or whether, quite frankly, sometimes does he even want to hear what it is I've got to say that day. But wherever we find ourselves on that journey, oh, there's a stick on the thing. Let's just put that there for a second. But wherever we find ourselves on this journey, I always have actually one reason in my heart as to why it's important to pray, and why wherever I find myself, it's important to press into that. And it's this. It's no matter where we are, no matter where he is, Jesus prayed. And if Jesus prayed, thematic for the season we're about to come in, God made man on earth. If he needs to pray, the people that are going to follow him surely need to pray wherever we are. And it's not that Jesus needed to pray. He taught his disciples how to pray. And what Tim's asked me to do this morning is just to begin to open the passage that we've had from Matthew's gospel today, and just to think, actually, what are the principles of prayer? What is it that we are actually doing when we come to prayer? Now, this comes with a bit of a disclaimer. Obviously, this is a huge subject. I'm not going to be able to cover this in one sermon. And so it's going to be a bit of a whistle-stop tour at best. If you do come away with questions, ask Tim, because I won't be here afterwards. But, No, seriously, I hope you can go away, and I hope you can reflect, and I hope you can have those questions and begin to think about these things. And actually, as another kind of freebie point before we actually get into the meat of this morning, what I want to say first off is I don't actually think there is particularly one right way of praying. There are some points that you can take away, but how you relate to God is going to be how you relate to God. And even just by way of an example, if we take the Lord's Prayer, which we see in Luke's Gospel Luke's Gospel and Matthew's Gospel that we have had read this morning, the Lord's Prayer, I have seen that used in a load of different ways. I have seen it used in art. I've heard it used as a song. I've seen it used as meditations. I've seen it used as parts of a prayer station. Even that one way where Jesus says, when you pray, I want you to pray like this. Actually, there are still a multitude of ways in which you can pray. Now, obviously, we will use it later on this morning. You can use it in a simple way. But that Lord's Prayer is a living and active prayer that we use on a regular basis. And I think what it does present us with really, really well is kind of a framework of something else. I don't think there is one particular formula that's going to work. I can't stand up here and say, do this, do this, do this, do this, do this, do this, and your prayer life's going to be amazing. It's a journey that you need to go on. But actually, the Lord's Prayer does give us a bit of a framework to help us understand what it is we are doing when we come to prayer. And the first thing that the prayer, I think, does really well is indicate who it is that we are actually praying to and why we are praying in the first place. And a lot of you might be sat here thinking that's fairly obvious, But in the passage leading up to itself, Jesus really emphasizes the point and indicates that actually sometimes we can be tempted to use the prayer, use prayer in general for things other than speaking to our Father in heaven. He says this, "Do not be like the hypocrites, for they love to stand and pray in the synagogues and at the street corners so that they can be seen by others. Truly I tell you, they have received their reward. But whenever you pray, go into your room, shut the door, and pray to your Father who is in heaven." Sorry, not in heaven, is in secret. You know, I've seen prayer used in interesting ways. And actually, one of the interesting things at college was I think I'd actually seen some people use prayer like the way Jesus says, don't do it. Because I saw people stand up and it was like their moment in front of people. And it's, you know, for some people, it's a temptation that they have to avoid. It's a really interesting thing, but it's Jesus is trying to say to us, look, guys, it's not about you. It's not about you. Prayer is not actually about just you. It's not about making yourself look good. It's not about a pick-me-up just for you. Jesus tells us that the first thing that we need to know about prayer, it's about our Father in heaven. Our Father in heaven. That's our starting point in prayer. We pray first and foremost that actually we might come to know our Father in heaven, and that actually we might see his glory, and that we might see it here on earth. That's how the Lord's Prayer starts. That we might understand in a world that so often, and I don't think it's hard to look around and say that this isn't the case, but in a world that so often goes against the Father's will, that we pray that his will be done. That we pray that it be done here on earth as it is in heaven. The prayer doesn't start with, God, it would be really cool if you could do this, or I'd like that, or why hasn't this happened yet? The prayer starts with the acknowledgement that God is God. That God wills and purposes things in this world. You know, if you read posh books, and I know there are probably some academics out here amongst you, they might say that God has agency. He is his own entity. He is different from us. He is other from us. And it's that God that we are praying to. And I think so often it's tempting for us to think of God a bit like a genie in a lamp. You know, we enter our time of prayer and it's like, God, I wish for this. God, I wish for that. God, I wish for the other. And actually, what we need to always remember, that God is our Father. He looks over us. He has purposes. He has designs. And I think sometimes that can create hard questions for us in our prayer life. Does it mean that prayer can sometimes be hard? Yes. Does it mean that we can't tell God that sometimes life is hard? Absolutely no. In fact, telling God that life is sometimes hard is in many respects a very biblical thing to do. I don't know how many of you have noticed the small book in the middle of the Bible called the Psalms. And in it, you'll find Israel's prayer book. Some people call it a hymn book, other people call it a prayer book. I like Dietrich Bonhoeffer, who's a nice theologian, but he calls it a prayer book, and I agree with him. And many of these prayers in this prayer book are structured something like this. Not all of them, because that wouldn't be fair, but a lot of them are structured a bit like this. God, help. God, life sucks. My enemies are all around me. They are taunting me. Where are you? God, why haven't you done anything yet? How long will I have to wait? God, this hurts, but I do know that if I look to you, I can find strength and I can find hope. God, I don't know why, but I do know that you are good. Now, in a nutshell, that's like a very condensed Andy Brown nutshell psalm. But it's okay to tell God that we are not happy about what's going on in our lives and in the world around us. But first of all, we have to acknowledge that God is God. And more than that, that God is a good father. And I'm saying that, and I'm going to emphasize that, because I know parental relationships can sometimes be a hard thing. But God is a good father. God is our provider. He does answer our prayers. And in one sense, prayer is a means by which we see the outpouring of God's love to us. It brings us out from the dark of the world into his light. It takes us away from being lost and into his hope, into being found by him. It enables us to realize that God has a plan, and it enables us to take our part in that plan. And that's how the Lord's Prayer begins. Acknowledge that God is God. Set the context before you go any further. If, as I said earlier, we are to pray because Jesus prayed, and actually he tells us to, I also think it probably warrants a look at how Jesus prayed himself. And this is going to lead me on to my second point. So the first point, acknowledge that God is God. The second point is to understand what it is we are doing when we are praying. And I've kind of like subtitled this bit as needs, not wants. Needs, not wants. And I think one of the most notable things is if you look at how Jesus himself prayed, it's that most of his prayer life didn't actually really concern anything he wanted. There was maybe one or two examples, probably the most notable being, take this cup from me. And I think most of you who know your Bible, and I know there are a lot of people who know their Bible here really well, will know that prayer wasn't answered in quite the way Jesus wanted to. But most of Jesus' prayers were for needs. And actually, I'm going to go a step further, because most of Jesus' prayers were for the needs of others. For the needs of others. And I think just in the middle of the Lord's Prayer is this really important sentence. And it says, give us today our daily bread. And I've emphasized the word there, give us today our daily bread, us. Not give me today my daily bread. Give us today our daily bread. So we started with who God is, and now we're on to what we're asking for in prayer. And the thing is that he doesn't give us always exactly what we want, but he will give us what we need. I don't think that daily bread was exactly seen as an abundance of stuff in first century Israel. Does God give in abundance? I absolutely do believe that he does give in abundance of himself and of his love for us. But what God is less interested in is an abundance of material stuff. And I think that's actually a challenging point for us today in today's Western world. But I think it's a challenge that we do need to take seriously. And I hate to break it to you, but actually if you read a bit further on in the Sermon on the Mount, you'll see that Jesus tells his followers not to store up material treasures, and then a bit further on in the same chapter, to not worry about tomorrow. And I think many of us, when we come to pray, many of us when we enter that room in the morning, are absolutely brilliant at knowing what we want. And sometimes we're less good at thinking about what we need. And that need can come in many different guises. Some of us may need finances to get through that day. Some may need food. For others, it's rest. For some, just getting through that day might be meeting a need. And actually, I think in our modern world, in our lives, we run the risk of confusing needs and wants into the same thing. When God is actually asking us to be humble and to think about what it is we need to help those who don't have what they need, to think about God's purposes, to see his kingdom come, means that we are thinking about the needs to see that actually happen. And I wonder how many of us often pray for the things that we need to fulfill God's will in our lives. How often do we pray for the things that we want to quench our desire versus what we actually need? It's a tough challenge. It's a really, really tough challenge, but I think it's one that if you're going to follow Jesus, you need to take up. So firstly, we understand that we're praying to our Father. We're praying to him in heaven that we might understand his will for us. And then that secondly, we're praying for our needs in accordance with that plan. And I think thirdly, the last point is that we need to allow prayer to change who we are. We need to allow prayer to change who we are. This is the last section of the Lord's Prayer. Forgive us our sins as we forgive those that sin against us. I'll just pause there. Very hard thing to do. Very hard thing to do. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. It was interesting when I was thinking about this that sometimes our answers to prayer are not always found in instant miracles. They're not always instant answers that we get. Sometimes our answers to prayer are found in the process and the journey of life. And there are perhaps a couple of examples that I could pull up from the Bible on this, but I think one of my favorites is this, is when Jesus prayed on the mountainside for the selection of the 12 apostles. Now, if I was Jesus in this situation, I would have questioned the choices that the Father made concerning these 12 and would have probably concluded that the prayer was fairly unanswered. Because the 12 included Judas, who would go on to betray Jesus, Peter, the zealot and hothead, James and John, who were the sons of thunder, and not for digestive reasons, they had anger problems, Matthew, the tax collector, who for all accounts was an enemy of the state of Israel and a social outcast. And throughout the story of the Gospels, throughout Jesus' time on earth, they got very little right. They got very, very little right. And if I was Jesus, when he says, "Well, how long am I going to be among you?" I might go back to that point on the mountain saying, did the Father answer my prayers? What's going on in this? However, this 12 went on an amazing journey and they underwent an amazing transformation as they went on their journey with Jesus. The answer to Jesus's prayer wasn't necessarily in the immediacy of the answer, but in the completion of the process of each member's discipleship. Peter became zealous for the right things and was able to follow in the footsteps of Jesus. John turned from being the son of thunder into the apostle of love. I mean, even the exception in the group, Judas, who went on to betray Jesus, was actually still used by God for the purposes of salvation. It was still in that plan. And here's the thing. Sometimes God gives us the answers in the here and now. Other times he might give the answers as a part of a slow process. Sometimes we may not find the answers to our prayer until we're beyond the veil of this world. But actually, in our fast food culture, in a culture that says, I can pay for stuff like this, I can get things here and now when I want it, we can run into a danger of thinking that God is like that, that God is going to answer every single prayer that way. And actually, sometimes we need to take a step back and realize that God answers prayer through that process because it's actually what's best for us. It helps change our hearts. It helps change us from the inside out. And that's a better answer to prayer, I think, sometimes than the things we can sometimes pray for. But if we're to allow ourselves to forgive others, we're going to have a change of heart. if we're not going to be led into temptation, we're going to have a change of heart. There's going to be a process there. And I think, like, I've spoken to some, you know, some Christians in the past, and, you know, at college, and I'm like, oh, I don't want to be doing this thing. And, you know, I always fall down on this one thing. And I'm praying to God that I'm not going to be able to fall into this temptation, and I'm going to get this supernatural strength, and I just will stop doing it one day. You know, it's just going to stop. It doesn't work like that. The problem that they've got is that they need to learn to change as part of a process. We need to allow God in to change who we are. We need to allow our prayer life to change us. We need to see God for who he is and respond accordingly. And there's actually, I'm coming to the end now, but there's so much more I could have said. There's so much more I actually wanted to say this morning, but I know we started a bit later, and I know we've got communion to go as well. And also, I'm an Anglican minister now. I'm only allowed 3 points. But do be thinking about these things. Do be thinking about your prayer life. Be challenged on it. Don't settle for just praying. Learn to listen. Learn to listen. So just again, just to remind you, there's 3 points from this morning. One, know who it is you are praying to. Secondly, pray for the needs of the world. Pray for your needs and pray for the others, not your wants. And thirdly, allow God to change you through prayer. And a lot of what I've said really boils down to one concept, and it's this: it's that prayer works top down. Prayer works top down. And I'm sure a lot of you, I'm a big fan of David Attenborough, Nature Programs. I'm looking forward to tonight's episode. If it's on tonight, I haven't actually checked, but there is a new series out. It's great. You should watch it. But I remember watching one a little while back, and I was watching the salmon try and go upstream. And actually looking at the effort that has to be put in when they're swimming upstream. And the truth is that actually life would be a lot easier for them if they realized that swimming downstream was much easier. It'd probably damage an ecosystem, but it would be much easier for them. And the truth is that when many of us pray, we pray like we're swimming upstream. We try and pray upstream when actually we would be much better off realizing that prayer works best when we go downstream. And that is to say that we remember who God is, and we jump into his plan for us. And we go, when we move with the current of his will, with his purposes, and that we work out what that relationship means for us in our lives. And actually, you might even enjoy the ride. And just the final couple of things that I want to say this morning, just as another quick couple of disclaimers, really. And firstly is this, that there is a mystery to prayer. There is a mystery to prayer. And it's very tempting for someone who's read too many books to stand up here and try and give you all the answers and believe that actually someone could do that. The truth is that that is not the right way to do your prayer life at all. There is a mystery to prayer. There's a mystery to a lot of what we do in church. And actually, sometimes we need to acknowledge that mystery and enter into it. It's sometimes hard, but it is the best thing for us. And the other thing that I want to say is this, that God does always answer prayer. The answer might be a yes, it might be a no, it might be a not yet, and in my case, for my request for an Aston Martin, it might not be. It might be that you're on a Church of England stipend. That's never happening. Why are you even asking me? But in every eventuality, God does answer our prayer. God does answer our prayer. I think so many of us need to be ready to listen to that answer and take it on board. Amen.